You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Gentlemen, I hate to waste a valuable minutes of airtime to make another announcement of this sort, but we must. I mentioned this last week, and we dedicate that song just there to open up our third and final hour tonight to the United States Postal Service. But to repeat, we started shipping out gift packages to TPC donors all the way back in mid-December. And as always, we ship them via priority mail. Normally delivered within 3 to 5 days. It is taking 3 to 5 weeks for some of these packages to be delivered this time, and even still, some of them have not been delivered at all. The United States Postal Service blames the, quote, unprecedented volume increases and limited employee availability, end quote, for the delay. I went to my local post office and I said, guys, you're killing me. What's going on? They said they've got 3 times the volume and 1/3 the workforce. But what are you going to do? I mean, you send it priority mail. We send everything with tracking. Just know your package is in the mail if you contributed $100 or more to TPC last month. Most of you, I would say 75% of you, have received your package, but a few of you have not. If you live in the United States and you have not yet received your gift, email me and I'll tell you what's going on. It will take, of course, a little bit longer for international deliveries, of course. But according to the tracking numbers, many of the priority mail packages that were sent to supporters weeks ago have still not been delivered. Furthermore, several additional orders that were sent to us by mail just arrived. So what I mean by that is some people sent in orders around Christmas time or that last week of December. We only just now received them in the mail yesterday. It is taking a week to 2 weeks for a regular letter to arrive to us. So we're working through it. Making matters even more complicated was that the incentive offer that we gave to everyone last month for our Christmas fourth quarter fundraiser, Deus Vult, was the most popular gift incentive we have ever offered. We have exhausted our inventory. We're trying to get more, but they're coming from Europe and they're coming in. And so,
never have heard as many positive comments about one of our inducements as we did for that book.
Well, it was incredible, Keith, and it is timely. I think in some ways that book might be the most important incentive we've ever offered, and it is incredibly timely in light of the recent events. You'll want this book. You'll want to read it in light of everything that's going on this week. We'll get it to you as soon as possible, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a guy whose trains run on time. I like to run a tight ship. I'm OCD. I'm a perfectionist, so this is really driving me crazy, but we're going to try to get everybody their order. I know most of the people have already received it. If you send in a check the last week of December, it may take until the end of the month to get you your book.
I'm glad to hear that you're OCD and not ACDC.
Well, we're working as quick as we can. But anyway, that being said, talking about recent events, let's go to Rich Hamblin now. Rich, our good friend. The topic of this hour is what's next. What can we expect to come? We've talked about what's happened since Wednesday, what's coming. We're going to ask Rich to answer that. But first, I made mention of this earlier, Rich. You said you were getting the Charlottesville vibe on Tuesday night. I said, no, I think it's going to be uneventful. They're going to mill around in the cold. They'll get tired and go home.
You were right.
I was wrong. How did you know?
Oh, good evening, James. Glad to be on the show. The feeling I got was just when I heard about restaurants being closed and the problems with hotel reservations and the National Guard being mobilized and, you know, and all these kind of contingency plans being developed by Mayor Bowser, I guess that's her name. So, I got kind of an uneasy. Kind of an uneasy feeling about that. Janice wanted to go real bad. I mean, there was a charter leaving from Nashville to go up there and carry Trump supporters or Stop a Steal protesters up there, and she wanted to go real bad. And I got to dig it into it a little bit because I don't really pay attention to that because Trump's not my guy. I mean, he's sold us out more times than he's helped us, and he's made valiant efforts, but he just never seemed to come through on things that really mattered. That aside, I mean, I wasn't really paying attention to it until I started watching a few things on from some conservative commentators like Matt Bracken, you know, and how to prep for the rally and all this kind of stuff. And he was pointing out things like, you know, the weather's going to be bad. You better take food with you and your medicines or whatever. Take water. There's not going to be any public facilities available for bathrooms and so on and so forth. And, you know, my wife's close to me and close to my age. And I didn't have any business being up there. Of course, I'm recovering from heart surgery. But she really didn't need to be up there by herself or even with a group of people she knew. If something should go bad. Now, I didn't expect riots, but I expected kind of a generally a miserable time. I mean, it's the first part of January, and it's in Washington, D.C., and it's, even though it's cold here, it's considerably colder up there. And the attitude of the city, from the indications I was getting, is they were not going to be exactly welcoming. And I got the same kind of vibe before Charlottesville, because I remember the day that we drove in on Friday night, and the rally was on Saturday, and I remember going through the town and just kind of looking around, and they already had the barricades up and stuff around Lee Square, and it was a college town. It was just not, you know, it wasn't friendly. There were banners up on the hanging over the street.
Well, the inconvenience factors aside, Rich, I think you're absolutely right, because what has happened is an exact replay. Basically, you have been tattooed for life if you went in person to Charlottesville. Likewise, it looks like they're going to use the same treatment on people that went to this MAGA rally for Trump on January the 6th in Washington, D.C. They have decided
they're all white supremacists.
I mean, they're going to do the same treatment, the same accusations.
Oh, doubtless. I mean, just the very fact that people are listening to this radio program is enough to get them banished and all this kind of stuff. But at some point, people are going to have to make a decision as to what are they willing to stand up for. You know, and before we went to Charlottesville, talking to Gene and some other friends, and we just decided if we don't, if not now, then when. And we'll pick this up in a minute.
Yeah, hold on right there, Rich. When we come back, more thoughts and reflections from Rich, our good friend up in the Nashville area. And we're going to be talking in the next segment predominantly about what's next. We've talked about what's happened since Wednesday. What can we expect? What pushback will we get from the regimes? Collectively, we will find out.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
One thing 2020 has made crystal clear. For liberty lovers, hope lies where it always has, in our own hands. So join us at Liberty Hall on Saturday, January 16th for a preparedness fair. With speakers on topics from health to food growing, prepping supplies, first aid, self-reliance, and more. 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, January 16th. Go to lovingliberty.net. That's lovingliberty.net. The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know. I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
And
we can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where'd all these cats come from?
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
I should say, too, while I expect a hasty delivery when I mail something priority mail from the United States Postal Service, I am woefully behind on my own emails with the holidays, a newborn at home. My father was convalescing at my home after another hospital stay for about 10 days. We have a few hundred emails that we need to respond to. We've not yet gotten to. I am reading them. I will respond. I'm going to lock myself in my home office one day this week, and we're going to get back to all of them. So thank you, everybody, for being patient with all of the things going on in this crazy world. Well, we're back tonight with Rich Hamblin now, and this is our third hour. We were talking with Rich in the previous segment about his prophetic take on how it would actually turn out on Wednesday. I expected very little. He thought it could be a little more damaging, and he was right. And I'll say again, it was impulsive, disorganized, counterproductive to the cause. There is a time for righteous rebellion. Our founding fathers knew that all too well, and they did it. But you'd better be sure you have a chance of success before going down that road. That was not the time or the place on Wednesday. But, Rich, let's talk about what's next. What's next? We got a segment to flesh it out. You've been batting 1,000% this year so far. So what do you see coming?
Really, this is the second week. nothing good. Nothing good is going to come out of this. I mean, if you I want to call people's attention to several of the vloggers or the YouTube people that are people on BitChute or whatever that I follow. There's some for the legal aspects of the challenge to the election. There's an attorney named Robert Barnes who does. He's actually from Chattanooga, but he lives out in Los Angeles or not Los Angeles, Las Vegas now. He has some very astute, well researched opinions on constitutional law and what should have happened and what, you know, didn't happen. And I mean, he excoriates the Republican leadership as I do. There's another local guy that does the Last American Vagabond podcast, and he has Whitney Webb on there. Now, both of them have been adept at or have been studious in examining the Nashville bombing, which kind of seems like it's fallen off the radar screen. Also, Whitney is very, very much up on the Epstein case and the involvement of Israeli intelligence and the Jewish mafia and everything else in the way the government's been running. Vincent James is another individual that people need to follow. He's been completely kicked off of YouTube and I think Twitter permanently, just like Trump. But he's on DLive and some there's some mirror channels on YouTube that are broadcasting his stuff. And they, these people have gone into in-depth analysis of what actually happened at the Capitol. How it, I mean, the details just do not add up. Like the murder of that woman that was in the Capitol building, and so on and so forth. Now you've got Alyssa Slotkin, who is a representative from the 8th District of Michigan, I believe is where she is, former Defense Department official and a former, and she's got a CIA connection too, and she's coming out saying, well, we need to turn our emphasis from international terrorism to domestic terrorism. And this is jumping into the narrative that it has been established by the ADL and numerous other people that have testified before Congress, where they've said the single biggest threat, and this is coming out of DHS too, the single biggest threat to American democracy, of course, we're a republic, we're not a democracy, is white nationalism. So, I mean, anybody that's, you know, which basically means white people. So anybody that says anything
Rich.
Positive about white people is just, you know, they've got a target put on their back. And you're going to see things like, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see a social credit score established here. This Congress is, the Republicans, the supposedly freedom-loving people, and a good measure of that in the Senate is, you know, it's a vote to challenge the Pennsylvania vote count went down 93-6. That means there was only six, and they were probably all Republicans, six that opposed to it. And Josh Hawley was one of them. And, you know, he's already on the bad list because Danforth, the former senator from Missouri, said biggest mistake of my life was mentoring Josh Hawley. So I mean, you got all these people running for the hills, or you know, bending down and kiss the feet of the Democrats. So, of course, the Democrats never stick knives in the back of their people. I mean, they're always they just close ranks. But what we're seeing here is, as Keith was alluding to earlier, is we're seeing a French Revolution in progress, you know, and it's just like a Bolshevik Revolution. And it's no accident that one of the chief topics of historical discussion in the former Soviet Union was the French Revolution. So we're having every norm overturned, all kinds of deviancy and perversity being considered normal, and all kinds of normal behavior, including Christianity, being denounced as unhealthy and unsafe and all this kind of stuff, and the censorship is just, you know, it's going on furthermore. I mean, you get censored for claiming there was a voter fraud, which there clearly was. You get censored for saying that the plandemic is fake. You know, it was planned, and I most certainly think it is. I think it was coordinated with the economic destruction of the world, basically, so that the central banks of the world can take over and basically enslave the rest of the population. There's no doubt that there's a war on the middle class in the United States, and the middle class is overwhelmingly white. But it's, you know, the stock market may be hitting all-time highs and all this kind of stuff from the money that was pumped into it by the Federal Reserve throughout Trump's reign. I mean, there was no good economy under Trump other than the military-industrial complex, because it was having all this money thrown at it. But everything else was kept in the air by the amount of money that was being printed and injected into the system. I mean, something like 25% of all dollars that are in existence ever have been printed in the last year. So, I mean, that tells you, you know, things are shaky up there. They're going after Trump, I think, with hammer and tongs. I think they're frightened of him. This whole thing of impeachment, even though there's 12 days left in his rule, is designed to disqualify him from from ever running again. Of course, you know, they can impeach him all they want to. They still got to convict him. I don't think that, as a practical matter, they're going to convict him in 12 days. But it's going to be open warfare on him. And the question is going to be, is he going to roll over completely to save his ass and to save his family's skin? Which, because you know that they're going to go after him. I mean, because...
Well, the thing is, Rich, this is Keith. Let me just say this. He may do that, but nothing will save him. He basically had two possible outcomes to his insurgency about the election. He could either become dictator or he's going to jail. And if he goes to jail, he's likely to die like Jeffrey Epstein. This is, you know, they were not, they're not going to leave him alone. They're not going to let him alone. They're not going to call off the hellhounds.
Well,
they're coming
problem,
after him.
The only problem that we have, guys, is that we may not know what he's going to do or say because he may not be able to get a message out short of a carrier pigeon.
That's exactly right. They're going to censor him. The regime wins its battles by ignoring you, you know, or not allowing you to speak. I mean, look at the Supreme Court. Texas was dismissed because it didn't have standing. I mean, what kind of
just stuff a sock in their mouth
is that? Yeah, I mean, that's what we're going to see. But we're also, I think, you're going to see people cracking down. Of course, you know, the schools are rotten. If you got your kids in public schools, they're being indoctrinated into hate the U.S. and hate.
I hate to tell you this, it's happening in private schools too.
I got to say too, though, guys. It's happening in churches. I mean, it's happening. It's universally happening now.
It's happening everywhere, and the American people are so feckless, or as Paul Craig Roberts says, they're so insouciant that they don't realize what's going on. It's like that meme of the dog with a little bowler hat on. Sitting at a table drinking a cup of coffee while a building around him is on fire. You know, everything's fine. So until people wake up, and I don't know what it's going to take, but, you know, it's going to get a lot worse. And the other thing I'll say is I don't think Biden will last a year.
All right, hold on with that. You want to come back to the next segment, Rich? You got
sure.
more to say? All right, hang on with us. We're going to come back, and Keith and me and Rich will be back. We're starting to wind this baby down. Hang on, everybody.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A West Virginia lawmaker facing federal charges for breaching the Capitol building has resigned. Republican delegate Derek Evans stepped down from his position in a statement on Saturday, saying he would focus on his personal situation and allow the legislature to focus on its business. Evans is facing charges of violent entry and disorderly conduct. Indonesian officials say a passenger jet carrying 62 people is believed to have crashed into the sea on Saturday, minutes after taking off from Jakarta's Soekarno-Hatta International Airport. Air traffic controllers lost contact with the Boeing 737-500 aircraft about 4 minutes after takeoff. The country's transportation ministry says more than a dozen vessels, including 4 warships, have been deployed for a search and rescue operation. Debris has been found believed to be from the plane, but there had been no confirmation as night fell in the area. This is USA Radio News.
If your New Year's resolution is to get to feeling better, the best way to feel better is with a great night's sleep. And you know I'm going to talk about my pillow. I've been sleeping on one for now 3 years, and I get the best sleep of my life. They don't go flat. You can wash them and dry them. Try doing that. You end up with a washer full of pillow feathers. And they're made in the USA. And right now, the MyPillow Premium Pillow Special continues $40 off, $29.98. For a standard or queen size premium MyPillow, King's only $5 more. To get the best night's sleep of your life and a guaranteed, and it continues until March 1st, and a 10-year warranty, go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. Give yourself the gift of a great night's sleep for 2021. From Mike Lindell and MyPillow.
Twitter has permanently suspended President Trump's account after what they called a risk to further incitement of violence. Congressman Tom McClintock disagrees, saying that allowing corporations to be gatekeepers of speech is dangerous. The California Republican tells Fox News that banning the president could be a step towards the loss of free speech.
The reason is because words and thoughts can be countered by better words and thoughts. That's why we have a First Amendment. What we're hearing now, something's fundamentally different. Is to set up government or corporate officials to decide what speech is acceptable and what is not. That's a very dangerous power that can quickly become abused. The president did not call on these rioters to break into the Capitol and to impede the Congress's work. He gave a very fiery speech. I thought it showed very poor judgment, but it was no more fiery a speech than what we're hearing from the Democrats now freedom of speech. And the moment we begin punishing that or censoring that, we've lost our First Amendment and we may never get it back.
This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, years ago, I adopted a canned statement that I would send in to the media. I would say nothing more or nothing less if I said anything at all to any inquiry they would have for me. And that single sentence statement would be, I apologize for nothing and I retract nothing. When you learn to say those words while standing upright, you're going to feel a hell of a lot better about yourself. They cannot take your integrity unless you offer it. Now is not a time for panic or fear. It's a time to be strong and courageous. And if you can't stand on your own two feet, lean on us and we'll try to prop you up. Barack Obama just this week blamed the conservative media ecosystem for the riots at the Capitol. Now, he's not just talking about alternative media like us. He's talking about Fox and Rush and everybody else. So they're coming for everybody. Everybody. I wrote this 10 years ago in my book. They're coming for everybody, even your garden variety anti-racist, quote unquote, Republican that voted for Trump. They're coming for you the same way they came for David Duke, the same way they came for us and everybody that appears
on this
show.
They're coming to take you away. They're coming to take, just like that song. And look, see, that's what people don't understand about racism that you, James, foresaw over 10 years ago. You can no longer claim the status of a good white person. All white people are bad. And getting back to what Rich was talking about the racist meme that seems to be dominating the coverage in the mainstream media about this January the 6th matter. But let me tell you this. Coming to take me away. They're coming to take me away. But let me tell you this.
They're coming to take me away. They're coming to take me away. To the funny farm where life is beautiful.
That's where they're going for all of us.
See those nice young men in their clean white coats and they're coming to take me away.
All right, go Keith and then back to Rich.
Okay, that's it. But let me just say this. They have now announced, the Democrats, through Dick Durbin, that white racism is a public health problem, an emergency that is going to require mobilization. So if that doesn't put a shiver down your spine, nothing will. They've made us a disease now, as they've said, you know.
And what is we? I mean, are we racist? Are we?
If you're a white person, you're a racist. And if racism is a public health problem, then every white person is a public health problem. How do you correct this, eradicate this public health problem? By eradicating white people.
I am sure quite literally they mean that if they could go the last full measure. Well, Rich, I mean, can we even imagine, even as much as we've been through in our lives and as you in your life and you've been through so much and you have such an incredible and colorful story, do you think even we can imagine as we sit here tonight, the wheels have only begun to turn with regards to how they can manipulate this so-called coup or so-called insurrection or so-called treason to advance their aims. I mean, yes, they're rounding up anybody who stepped foot inside the Capitol uninvited, but that's only going to be the beginning.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. I've got a friend I've known for probably about 25 years, I guess, or maybe more. Met him in the 90s. And we always talk. He's conservative, but he's more or less of a normie conservative. And he was I'd send him stuff to read, and we'd have conversations. And just recently, he called me up and said, you know, when we first started talking, I thought you were pretty extreme. He said, now everything you warned me about is coming true. And I've seen this coming a long time. I mean, that's probably why I ended up where I was in 2005, 2006. So, I can see the handwriting on the wall. And it's only going to intensify. You know, they're coming to take me away. Well, that's just like in the Soviet Union, you know, toward the end of the Soviet Union. Instead of just sending people to gulags, they locked them up in mental hospitals because they figured, well, anybody that disagrees with our propaganda has got to be mentally ill. you know, so they cloak it in some flowery language, and but it ended up, you know, it's just another means of repression. And we're going to see that happen here. And they're going after, you'll see another big push on gun confiscation. They've got veto-proof, well, they don't need a, you know, it'd be veto-proof because they got all three branches. They'll have both houses in the presidency. So they'll be passing more restrictive gun laws. Doesn't matter what the damn Constitution
hate speech
says,
laws because, are definitely in the
oh sure they
our
are
future.
And it's and who, you know, I laugh at anybody that talks about the rule of law, because there is no rule of law, period. The law doesn't exist.
The Supreme Court is missing in action officially in this whole affair.
And so is the Congress. I mean, the Congress is the one that makes the law. Supreme Court should never have had the power that it's got, thanks to John Marshall and all and his usurpations back in the early 1800s.
Hey, really, Felix Frankfurter.
Hold on. Y'all are all right, all those guys. But I'm glad you brought this up, Rich. You just triggered something that I was going to forget to mention otherwise, and that is that the wife of Clarence Thomas wrote "God bless you" to the people who were in Washington in support of the president on Wednesday before the events that took place occurred, and they are now, you know, marshaling some sort of a crew to try to pressure Clarence Thomas to be resigned because his wife said "God bless you" to the people who were in support of the president. I mean, that's how far and wide ranging this whole thing, this net is going to be cast.
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't try to even pick
it. It's because she's white.
They can send him on a hunting trip and he ends up dead.
She's white, so that makes her a white supremacist. I mean, you see,
I honestly didn't know that.
Oh yeah, this is beyond Orwell. I mean, it's just you know, it's beyond Kafka. It's beyond any of this stuff that you can imagine, and it's just it makes your head swim. And the thing is that you know, let's be honest. The Constitution failed in 1861 when the South seceded. You know, there was no compromise. There was no compromise with that bunch in the North. And they're the same ones that are running things now. The names have switched from Democrats to Republican, but the Democratic Party today is the same as the Republican Party of 1861. And when the war was over, the period now reminds me nothing so much as Reconstruction, because not only did the North want to defeat the South, they wanted to destroy the South. And that's what's going on with the Democrats and the Republicans. Not only do they want to defeat the Republicans and Trump, they want to destroy them now. I mean, it's completely – it's Jacobin, it's Bolshevik, or Bolshevik, as Eddie likes to say. But it's a completely communistic, Marxist-Leninist, whatever, Jewish, whatever you want to do. I mean, this, you know, these measures are stuff that's like straight out of the Talmud, you know? And it's,
well,
look, it's no coincidence.
Yeah.
So –
yeah, Rich, let me say this about there'll never be secession of red state America or flyover country allowed by the other side for the same reason they didn't allow it in 1861.
Of course not.
In final analysis, it's just too much fun for those people to torment us, to frustrate us, to lord themselves over us. We would take away their reason for living if they didn't have us to torture, and that's what they want. And that's what they are continuing to have.
Yeah, so I guess when we're all in the grave, we can be satisfied knowing that they're going to turn on each other when all this stuff happens. But, I mean, the measures are ominous. They arrested the quote-unquote leader of the Proud Boys before he could even set foot in D.C., right? So, I mean, it's called decapitation. It's what totalitarian regimes do when they're consolidating power. You know, you take away a leader, or anybody that could be a possible leader, And you just got a mob, which is what this turned into. The problem
is like the Catan Forest in Poland by the Soviets during World War II. See, we this has been a coup not by Trump, but a coup by the left, and they're in charge, and they are totally in charge. It's going to be a one party government, just like the Soviet Union. And remember, they asked Solzhenitsyn, when he came to America, why did you let these wild-eyed radicals that were so bad take over the government? He said, well, it's because we Russians couldn't have conceived just how evil they were. We thought we were going to change governments for a while and maybe it would come back. They didn't. 36 million lives later, through the Holodomor, the starvation and the gulags and whatnot, 36 million white Russians, Ruthenians, and Ukrainians were killed by the Jewish Bolshevik regime that took over Russia for 70 years. And look, I'm not surprised. I would not, you know, put it out of the realm of possibility that that's what we have in our future. I hope not. I pray not.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll be here standing.
Reminds me of something.
Yep.
That reminds me of something. That 93-6 vote about the affirming the Pennsylvania election. The only kind of measures that get that kind of support in Congress are aid packages for Israel.
Yeah,
somehow there's a similarity there.
Yeah, that's 100% right. Hey, Rich,
yeah,
I'll tell you what.
I
thought we were having a pretty good show until you came on. You made the show great, and what we did the first 2 hours pales in comparison to what we did this third hour. Thank you for your time tonight, my friend. We got to shift gears very quickly with only one segment remaining and remember the Knoxville horror, and we'll do that when we come back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Well, glad to help you. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New
Year.
Same
to you, buddy.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, we have one more segment. There's something that we certainly intended to get to this evening, and we'll get to it now. Say their names, ladies and gentlemen. Channon Christian and Christopher Newsom. The Knoxville Horror took place this week in 2007. It was January the 6th, 2007, if you can believe it, of all days.
When they were kidnapped.
Kidnapped, raped,
Well, they were raped over a series of days,
murdered,
were they not?
One to 2 days, yes. I had the opportunity to appear on CNN to debate this matter with the spokesman from the NAACP. I posted to our website this week, thepoliticalcesspool.org, the official transcript from CNN.com, and we linked to the transcript at CNN.com when transcribing it, as it were. And one thing you have to know, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have been right about everything. We were right about this. We were right back then. And
we're right about the emerging and ever-changing definition of racism in America.
Now, this was a horrible thing, though, and it's something that we shouldn't remember. The names of these victims should never be forgotten. These are the victims of truly race-based hatred.
And if Emmett Till deserves to be remembered today after what happened to him in 1955, this pair doubly deserves to be remembered.
It's not about us. It's about them. I'll have you listen to this clip from CNN. This was in May of 2007, and you might want to pay attention to how CNN introduces me, or how they used to introduce me way back when. Here it comes.
And joining me now to talk about this, the Reverend Ezra Mays, president of the Knoxville chapter of the NAACP. Thanks for being with us tonight. Also, James Edwards, who hosts the conservative radio talk show, The Political Cesspool. And thanks to you as well for being with us.
How's it going, Karen? Thank you for having me.
But James, I just want to ask you about the Knox County District Attorney General's office, the special counsel, saying there's nothing whatsoever that indicates any hate crime. He also goes on to say there are things that really coincidentally prove just the opposite. So why has this case become a rallying cry among the white supremacists, fringe groups, and even conservative columnists online?
Well, I can't necessarily speak for people that I don't have any association with, but I'll tell you this. I believe that probably the government officials in Knoxville are concerned with being labeled white supremacists for taking a conservative point of view on this issue. They probably don't want to defy the false gods of political correctness. What you have here, Karen, is a horribly wicked crime in which two young college students were carjacked, held captive, and raped before being murdered. Now, if that isn't a hate crime, then I don't know what is. If found guilty, these perpetrators should face swift justice, and the firing squad would be too lenient for him. But I'll promise you this, had the roles been reversed and had the victims been black and the murderers white, this would have been the biggest news story in America on every nightly newscast back in February when this originally occurred.
Reverend Mays, do you agree with that if this had been reversed racially, we would have heard much more about it?
I beg to differ. I believe that had it been reversed racially, you would not have heard anything about it. I believe that this has received some national attention, and I do not believe that it was a race crime. I believe that it was a crime that was committed. I am not one to judge. I cannot say guilty or not guilty. I do say that we do feel for the families of those who have lost loved ones, and you cannot be human and not feel sympathetic for those who have lost loved ones. I do not agree with the crime, nor do I believe that it was a hate crime.
Karen, I believe there's not a doubt in anyone's mind in America that if the races in this instance had been reversed, that the NAACP would have been howling that this would have been classified as a hate crime. The NAACP never believes that brutal acts of violence committed by blacks against whites is motivated by racial hatred. And certainly, the NAACP couldn't provide America tonight with an equivalent random act of violence committed by blacks against other blacks that can compare to this massacre.
Okay, it went on from there. I'm not going to play the entire clip, but you certainly there get the gist of it. So that was on national television, not just national television, but the primetime show CNN had at the time, the 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock p.m. Central show that they had. That was their biggest show. I appeared on that show several times during that era.
But let me say this.
Now, Keith, this is the thing. We were right then. We're right now. You compare what happened in the case of the Knoxville Heart. Let me just read this very quickly, what happened there. On January 6th of 2007, Channing Christian and Chris Newsom, age 23 and 21 respectively, were carjacked by five blacks. One woman and four men. They were bound, gagged, blindfolded, and repeatedly sodomized. After several hours, they shot the young man in the head. They dragged him to nearby railroad tracks and shot him twice more there. They then poured gasoline on his body and set him ablaze, returned to the house. Over the next few days, as you mentioned, Keith, they tortured Channon, the young girl, binding her, beating her repeatedly, and raping her in every imaginable way with pieces of furniture. Her genitals were so severely injured that medical examiners believe she was penetrated with a chair leg. They forced her to drink household cleaning products, apparently trying to destroy the DNA evidence. After days of torture, they covered her head with a trash bag and stuffed her, still alive, into a garbage can. She there died slowly from suffocation as the perpetrators ate breakfast just a few feet away from her. This event, known as the Knoxville Horror, was blacked out by the media until that appearance that you just heard that I made on CNN's primetime show. Word of the crime leaked out. It caused some public outrage, including that from erstwhile performer Charlie Daniels, and that forced CNN and other agencies to begin coverage. Now, you compare that to George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Michael Brown, all of these people who were career criminals who had unfortunate ends with police officers.
Resisting arrest.
Breonna Taylor up neck deep in the drug trade, Michael Brown trying to steal the sidearm of a police officer so he could kill him. George Floyd, we know that situation. I'm just saying, we were right about everything, and to hear that was in 2007, and now we know beyond a shadow of a doubt. If it was ever in question then, it's not now. If the races were reversed, we know exactly what would happen. It would be national media. But never ever did it ever happen in the history of this country where blacks were treated to that sort of torture by whites. Never. You can give me Emmett Till or any instance. Never was it so grotesque. And God bless and God keep, and I hope they're in the kingdom of heaven today, Channing Christian and Chris Newsom. I am honored to have my name associated with being one of the people who were able to bring this situation to wider public knowledge. May God rest and keep their souls.
And may they not be forgotten.
But they will never be forgotten as long as we have a voice here. And this is the weekend it happened. This is the anniversary of it, the tragic anniversary 14 years ago it was.
Well, there's another aspect to this, James, that I want to bring up and focus on. Look at the way you were introduced then by CNN as a conservative talk show host. None of these embellishments, none of this purple prose calling you everything except
even
the child
of God.
Even though
I believed then and was known for then the same things that I'm known for now. In fact, the whole reason CNN reached out to me is because they knew I would speak out about this in the way that I am known for, but that was not the way that I was.
Nothing mealy-mouthed about it at all. But on the other hand, today, they would call you everything except a child of God. They would call you,
Oh, and they do.
They would call you. There's no person that they identify as a racist that they would not attach to you and say that you're even worse. That's what they would do in today's world. We have the temperature has gone up on white people. White people now are supposed to basically accept guilt and then be killed. This is like a Stalinist show trial in America generally now. They would get some poor, hapless, communist functionary. He would confess to everything, thinking he was going to somehow buy leniency or buy a dispensation. Then they'd haul him right out after recording all of his words and kill him by firing squad. This is what they have in mind for us, folks. You know, I don't think I'm being too extreme on this. This is what they basically have said, that being a white person, being a racist is being a white person now. That's what Black Lives Matter say. That's what these so-called critical race theorists say. And they say that they were a public health problem that needs to be eradicated. In other words, to eradicate racism, which only emanates from white people, never from black people, like the killers of Channing Christian and James Newsom, if they want to eradicate racism, they're saying they want to eradicate the white race.
Well, again, I was brought on to CNN for a series of appearances as a commentator on a variety of issues and always introduced as a conservative talk radio host at that time. CNN has covered us many times since then for different reasons. I can remember specifically one incident back in 2016 where I had praised Mike Pence for something he had said. And there was a panel discussion about how white supremacist James Edwards had praised Mike Pence. This was during the campaign in 2016. Well, why was I a conservative in 07 but a white supremacist in 2016? 2016. Nothing about my opinions. My opinions never changed. My viewpoints never changed. The same reasons that brought me to CNN in 2007 were then being condemned in 2016. I didn't change. Only the terms that they used to describe me changed. Well, in any event, they've changed for everyone else now, up to and including anybody who voted for the Republican candidate for president in 2020.
Well, the Chinese curse is this, folks, and keep it to mind. May you live in interesting times. I think we're about to live through interesting times.
They're always interesting here. Ladies and gentlemen, for Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. Thank you, Rich. We'll be back with you next week. God bless you and keep you. Godspeed. And may we never forget Channing Christian and Chris Newsom. Good night, everybody. Bye.